Welcome to the Imagine Momcast. Are you thinking about maybe homeschooling, or maybe you started homeschooling because of COVID? Today I'm going to talk to three moms who did just that, and I hope that you're really encouraged because it's so cool to just be able to hear other people's experiences, and hopefully you'll be able to relate to it. Or if you're thinking about homeschooling, then I hope it encourages you to get a really clear picture of how it is and what they liked about it, and just to let you know that you can do it if it's what you really want to do. So thank you for coming and listening, and remember, this is the place for more answers, more Jesus, more fun.
You're here too.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Elaine Kohanowitz, and today I have some really special guests. I've got three moms here that just started homeschooling in the last year-ish. I guess not year, calendar year, but like school year. And was so excited to share their experience with you, especially if you're either new to homeschooling or thinking about it. And I am going to have them introduce themselves, tell us how many kids they have, and we'll just start with that, and then we'll get into the meat of it. How about that? All right, go ahead.
Hi, I'm Destiny True. I have three kiddos, two boys and a girl.
Yeah, sure. Tell us the grades.
I have a fourth grader, a first grader, and a pre-K.
All right, perfect.
I am Rachel Volk, and I have a third grade boy and a kindergarten girl.
I'm Abby Jansma, and I have a third grade boy, a first grade boy, and a 2.5-year-old.
All right, awesome. So, interestingly, they've all kind of started during COVID, and I think that that's probably been the experience, I would imagine, of a lot of people. So I'm going to start with Destiny. Why don't you tell us a little bit about kind of why you started homeschooling and how that all evolved?
Well, I wanted to start homeschooling. I first noticed when my middle son was around 3 that maybe I would need to homeschool him.
And why was that?
He just didn't fit perfectly into the classroom setting, the traditional classroom setting. And maybe it's just, you know, his age at the time, but I continued to see that even as he got older. And I could tell that he needed some more one-on-one teaching time. And with the class sizes not being small, I didn't see how that would be possible.
I see.
So anyway, then fast forward a couple years later, he's in kindergarten, and it was a really rough kindergarten year, kind of like I suspected. And that was the year that COVID happened, and we ended the school year virtually in March of 2020, and it was basically a nightmare for him.
It was a nightmare going to the virtual homeschooling?
Yes. Well, it wasn't. It was through the school district as well. It wasn't homeschool. But he is a very tactile, kinesthetic learner. And so having to force him to sit in front of a screen.
As a kindergartner.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of people can relate how hard that was.
Yeah. And so, you know, we pushed through, finished out the school year. I felt like the staff and the teachers did as best they could. And then we were kind of on a roller coaster ride the whole summer, just waiting to see what was going to happen for the fall. And is it going to look the same? Is it going to look different? Are they going to wear masks all day? And I was just ready to be off that roller coaster. I decided to pull all of my kids and just do our own schedule, do our own curriculum, and kind of meet them where they were with their learning styles. My daughter's benefited a lot from it as well.
She's older than him?
No, she's younger.
She's younger.
She was 4 at the time. She has a speech delay, and she was kind of getting lost in the classroom as well at her preschool. She's the quiet, go-with-the-flow kind of girl. And
yeah. I feel like those are kind of the ones, especially sometimes girls, to where, like, maybe everybody thinks everything's fine because they don't have any behavior difficulties, but, like,
they need some attention in other areas.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's not noticed as much because they're quiet.
You right. know? Yeah. And so I saw it happening. I actually worked at her preschool, so I was able to, you know, see her in the classroom. And, you know, and then for my oldest, I thought, well, we're going to do this as a family, you know. So I was a little nervous about him finishing out third grade. But he's adjusted really well, and joining co-op has helped hugely with that, making new friends. And
that's how I met you guys, so just so everybody knows, is at the homeschool co-op.
Yes. So I guess that is kind of the main reasons why we started homeschooling in the first place, just to kind of have more control over our schedule and to work more one-on-one with all my kids in different ways.
So that they would get a little bit more individualized attention.
Exactly, yeah.
So before we go on, just want you to know we're blessed with Abby's youngest, Maddie. She's hanging out with us, so if you hear any cute sounds in the background, that's her. And so, Rachel, would you say your experience was similar or
Yeah,
not?
So we had actually been in private school for 3 years, like a Christian school. And I did notice that Isaac was struggling in his classroom, but, you know, they were doing their
best.
How old
is he?
He's in third grade.
Okay.
So he started there in kindergarten, and they were doing their best, and he was kind of keeping up. But my background is in early childhood elementary education, so that's what I went to school for. And I could tell that the cookie cutter way of teaching in the classroom, because you've got 20 kids and you can only teach one way, you know, like he just wasn't picking up with the reading, the language arts, that kind of stuff. He needed a different approach. And I was worried about that, but I was thinking, well, maybe we could work on it at home at night. Maybe we could work on it through the summer. But here's the thing with that. After your kids have been in school for 7.5 hours, when they come home and you want them to sit down and do all the homework that they have to do, plus work on catching up or learning a different way of, you know, decoding words, it's like that's way too
much. You might
much
as well forget it.
For that young of a child. You know, it's just too much school. So I was really, like, not sure what we were going to do. And we have thought about homeschooling. Because I've always wanted to homeschool, just I was worried about the, like, social part of it, which I think, you know, a lot of people probably are worried about that. Because my oldest is very social. He loves being around other kids, loves, you know, doing all that kind of stuff. And so I was just really worried about both of those things. But then COVID happened. And we were home, and I could see that he really would benefit from a homeschool environment. At least, maybe not forever, but at least for a while here. Mm-hmm. And it just went so well. I had him for the first 3 or 4 hours in the morning, and I could, like, work with him when he was, like, at his best and really, catching on versus where I got the end of the day and the nighttime.
Yeah. And we're all, like, nodding our head because we know that, like, young children don't do so well after lunch.
And so, yeah, I mean, it was just night and day difference between how he was, like, picking up on, and then he wouldn't have homework at night. Our family life was so much smoother, like, you know, my
husband.
Like,
less stress.
Right, because we would just do stuff as a family together at night, you know, instead of, okay, guys, we got to get ready for school the next day. We have to get our homework done. We got to get lunches packed. We got to get in the shower. We got to get in bed in time because we have to get up early. It just, I don't know, it just worked a lot smoother for us. It just seemed peaceful.
Oh,
and, like, just an overall peacefulness in our house. And then, so, you know, my husband and I talked about it, and we were thinking, you know, it doesn't, like, have to be a forever decision, but we are choosing to homeschool for as long as we can or until something shows us differently with our kids. I mean, Abby, she enjoys school either way. I think she does struggle a little bit.
How old is Abby?
She's in kindergarten.
Okay.
So that she had kindergarten. She was in preschool, and she did struggle a little bit with, like, being away from me, so she actually loves homeschooling, so she gets to be
with me all the time.
Yes. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think we'll just have to see how everything goes. But right now, that's just the path that is, like, I'm thankful that we got the opportunity to try it out, kind mm-hmm. of like a free trial, because people are kind of scared to kind of jump off that ledge. I mean, I was kind of like, oh, I don't know. Like, that's just, it's fine. But having this opportunity to try it and see how much better it was for our family kind of told me, like, sometimes you really just have to go with your gut feeling and what you mm-hmm. are feeling and not be so scared or worried about doing things maybe a little differently.
So. Yeah, and I agree. I mean, there's got to be, like, so many people having been forced into homeschooling who, you know, like you said, it was only 2 months, it was the end of the school year, so it was kind of less pressure, I feel like.
Yeah.
And that was probably pretty cool for some people to get to try it. I also like what you said about, like, it's not necessarily, like, your forever choice, because I feel like it can go almost any way, because I even feel like, because I started out homeschooling, and, you know, I felt the pressure of, well, that's what we do.
That's
we homeschool.
What we have to do now.
You know what I mean? And, like, now I'm not even homeschooling anymore. I have kids in high school at public school, and I have kids at private school, you know, in, like, elementary and middle school. And even previous to this, I had, you know, kids in public school and was homeschooling, you know. Mm-hmm. So eventually I feel like when you step off that ledge and you're like, oh, okay, like, we don't have to be one way.
Right.
You know, like, we didn't even have kids doing the same thing at the same time. Like, literally some of our kids were, like, taking classes at the private school while some were in public school and some were homeschooling, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That helps free people to feel like, okay.
Right.
This isn't, like, something I have to commit the rest of my life to.
Exactly.
Although I will say it makes the summers kind of stressful, because you're always like, what should we do next year?
Yeah, what are we going to do next year?
Yeah. So, Abby, is that kind of what happened with you? I know you have a little bit different story, don't you?
Yes, I do. Yep, we have a little different story. We started out with last year, we ended the year with virtual homeschool. And our school was just really good about meeting our kids where they were at. We went to a small private school. The teachers, we were so blessed with, like, the best teachers.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so it had never crossed my mind to homeschool, ever, just because we really loved where we were at. And we ended up finishing the year with homeschooling, and we just really loved it. I really loved it. The kids really loved it.
Hmm.
We loved being able to, like you said, our evenings were so much freer.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't the pressure of homework or what do we have to do tomorrow, or just less things going on. And we just really enjoyed being able to focus on our family like that. And we ended up moving from Iowa to Kansas City, Missouri this summer. And with moving, we knew that we ended up moving. And when we first moved, we lived in a camper, then an apartment.
That's so cool.
And then a house. And so we knew that we would be switching school districts several times in this coming year. And so we just were like, well, let's just homeschool. That way we can kind of go and do our thing. And if we have to go back to Iowa, we can do that too. And so we decided to do homeschooling. And kind of the end of last year really gave me the courage to be able to do that.
That's neat.
Mm-hmm. Because, like I said, it was something we'd never, like, thought of before.
Yeah.
And when, doing that, ending the year that way was like, we can do this. Like, we had lots of fun. We can do this.
Mm-hmm.
So we just kind of jumped in. We have, it's been really good with my kids. I've seen them, my boys are 9 and 7, and I've just seen them grow a lot closer through all of this.
That's neat.
Be more attentive to their sister, and just grow in that way. And our family has become closer too. We've just really enjoyed being able to just give each other time and attention that you don't always get in that traditional school setting. So,
well, I think it's kind of neat because, like, you didn't come from a situation that you didn't like. And I wouldn't say necessarily you guys came from a situation that you hated either.
Right.
You know, it wasn't terrible or anything like that. But, like, you really, really liked the school a lot.
Yep.
And it was the same school as your church, right?
Yes. Yep. Yep. It was. And, really small town. It was like family. The co-op here it kind of feels the same way. All the kids play together. All different ages play together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's nice.
Just really a really good little school. And so, yeah, we'd never thought of it.
And also, what I always think is fascinating is, like, that you actually homeschooled from a camper for, like, several months, right?
Sure did, yes.
Sure did.
Yep. There were days where it was like, wow, it's not happening today. We are going to go for a walk. That's it.
That's it.
And you're still doing it, though.
Yeah.
After going through all that, that's
true.
First year being in all those changes, like, that's a lot. So, yeah.
That's pretty impressive. So I want to know a little bit about where you came from, like, professionally before you started homeschooling, because I think you were all working. Now, Abby, you may not have been for a while because you had little ones.
Right, yep.
So, but where were you at? Or you were at home for a while, and then before that?
So I have a degree in administrative office management.
Okay.
Before I had kiddos, I was working in an office full-time. And then when I had my oldest son, we decided that it was just time for me to stay home. He was sick a lot. And my grandpa was sick with cancer as well, and so we just made the decision that I wanted to spend more time with my grandpa. I wanted to be able to just focus more on my oldest, and so we made the decision for me to stay home. And then the year before, so like 2018, I took a part-time position as a church secretary.
Okay.
And so I was, working part-time before that, but mostly a stay-at-home mom, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you were teaching, you mentioned, right, Rachel?
I was, yes. I stayed at home up until Abby went to preschool last year.
Oh,
so
okay.
So last year was my first year going back into teaching. I was teaching preschool before I had kids.
Okay.
But I had been home for, 8 years
since then?
And then, 7 or 8 years. And then last year I was teaching just part-time, and so that's my background.
And what did you do, Destiny?
I was in corporate America as well. My background's in business finance, and I quit working. I mean, I worked up until almost I gave birth to Colton, my oldest. And so I was mainly a stay-at-home mom. We had two more kids after that, and then the last 3 years, though, I did work part-time at my daughter's preschool.
Okay.
So.
And before that, you were in finance, you said?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you worked a long time in finance, right?
I did, yeah. I'm from Dallas area, Texas, and so was in that environment for a while, and then we moved to Kansas City in 2007. And I jumped around a couple times on jobs, and then when I was pregnant with Colton, I was like, I think I'm going to want to, you know, stay home with him. We didn't have any family here at the time. Well, we did have my brother-in-law, but they were busy with their kids.
Mm.
No grandparents or anything were here. And I just was like, I don't know if I want to drop him off, you know, and spend 40 hours in this office. So I was like...
And it wasn't the sort of thing you could do part-time real well?
No, not at the time. Now it probably would be with, you know, all the changes in the world.
People working at home.
Everybody's
figured
that.
Well, so the reason I ask you guys about it is just because, you know, pointing out that, like, it doesn't really matter what background you come from, like, you could homeschool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, what do you think about that? Like, do you think that's true? Or has it been more difficult because...
I come from a family of educators, and for years I beat myself up for not becoming a teacher.
And now, so it was in there somewhere.
Yeah. I'm kind of bossy, so I always knew I kind of wanted to be like a teacher of some sort, you know, and or at least, you know,
I hope
advisor.
Some of my bossy children don't become teachers. I would feel so sad for those children.
That's probably the wrong thing to say.
No, I'm just kidding.
I wanted to be in charge, I guess. And so I really feel like it's helped me because I'm still going through a de-schooling period, so to speak, where, it has to be this way. This is the way it's done.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would have been even more so if I had been a teacher all these years, you know, in the school system, So I think it benefited me. I think the main thing that you have to have is a strong desire to know your children and meet them where they are, because that's kind of what fuels you.
Yeah, that's so true.
And you just have to pay attention to that constantly, because their needs are going to change, and you just have to be brave, you know, and that's make those changes when it's time. So, because I do get caught up in the whole, like, I have to do this forever thing, and this is us now. And so it's kind of good to know that, you know, you can change it as needed. So,
yeah. And what did you think? Because you came from teaching. So
I did come from teaching, but I think what, going off of what Destiny was saying, you really just have to have that desire. It doesn't matter what your background is. It's, I think, your desire in your heart for what you're wanting to do. And nowadays you can get online. You can find so many resources that
it's almost like overwhelming, actually, how many resources
there are. Even if you have no background in teaching, there are just so many curriculums and like options that are laid out there for you. So if you have that desire to like be with your kids, be as like a family together, or try to work on things that you see with your kids, there's options out there to find that to help you. I'm more so than ever, like when I was looking, I mean, just not only like online stuff and all the curriculums, there's just a lot. Yes, there's a lot of information to help you.
Did you think that your teaching background helped you?
I think, you know, probably. I guess, I hope. I don't know. We'll see. Only time will tell, right?
Yeah,
no, I don't. I think either way, whether you have that teaching background or not, it's just got to be something like that you desire to do in your heart and that you can want to do with your family, because if you're not motivated to do that, it's probably not going
gonna work
to
out.
Be the best, you know, situation or whatnot. So
yeah, so and along those lines, so like Abby, because you know, even though like you and I did want to emphasize that like anybody can do it.
Yeah.
And but like Abby was saying about taking a walk, you know, like there's going to be tough days. I used to call it the homeschool, or I mean, I call it the public school daydream, where I would think to myself, okay, if I go up to the school right now and register them right now, I could probably get them in by tomorrow morning.
Right now.
So maybe you could speak to that, like just, you know, I mean, you didn't teach, but you probably had some administration talents that helped you organize the kids. But at the same time, like, you're dealing with people, so.
So I'm very type A. So when Destiny said, like, she had this idea of, like, how it was supposed to look and go, like, I totally did. And so it was almost, I would say I had to work against that in myself, that want to, like, okay, like, this is the block of time that we're doing English today.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to really pay attention to that in myself and just learn that, hey, if today is a hard day, we can go for a walk and we can pick this up later. It's totally fine. So for us, it was just really a process of, like, okay, we're going to meet the kids where they're at. And if today this is hard, we're going to pick it up tomorrow. And so for us, it was just a really big learning experience of, and I didn't have any sort of teaching background. So I definitely had, I'm going to echo what they said, that wanting to meet my kids where they were at. And so that was the learning experience for my type A.
Yeah.
Just being there for where my kids, you know, were. Instead of, we need to stick to the schedule, like, we need to get this done today. And I think we all
especially agree. When you're an accomplishment person.
Yes.
Because you're like, I need to know that this
yep.
got done
I need
today.
To check off everything off my list today.
Yeah.
Well, I think, too, for me, as a first-time homeschooling mom, you almost feel like you have something to prove.
Oh,
like,
yeah, definitely.
I don't know. I did. I was like, if it doesn't look like my kids are doing good, that means I'm doing a bad job. And, you know, so it was like, we're doing what this curriculum says, whether we like it or not, because if we don't get through all this and they don't learn what they're supposed to learn,
it's on me.
Then that's my fault. Or, you know, that makes me look bad, or that we're not doing this correctly. And that does take a while to change the mindset, I think, for me anyway. I'm probably going to always be struggling with that because, Yes, same.
Well, I think one of the hard parts about it, because I definitely struggled with that, and I'm pretty laid back, actually, but, you know, everybody wants to feel like they're doing the right thing, A, and B, that they're, you know, seeing some results. Mm-hmm. And I think that being one thing that was hard about being a homeschool parent is that you don't really get a lot of feedback.
Exactly.
It's like being a mom times two. You know how, like, nobody is ever really telling you, you're a great mom.
Right.
And then no one's telling you whether you're doing good at homeschooling.
Yep. There's no results to look at, no report card, no, like, you know, this is your progress over this year or whatever.
Right.
So, yeah, it is hard.
And unless you do, like, a standardized test, mm-hmm. and even that...
That's just a little piece of the progress, too.
Exactly, you know? Exactly. And it. I always felt conflicted about those, because on the one hand, to be confessing, like, early on, my kids took them and failed. So I knew that I needed to change some things. So that was probably a good wake-up call of, like, we just weren't emphasizing some of the more, like, fundamental, like, English and grammar and math. We were doing a little bit too much, you know, history and science and fun stuff, you know. Yeah. So that was good. But then later on, once I recovered from that, once my ego recovered, I, you know, thought, you know, when they take the test, they're testing not necessarily over what you covered that year, because as a homeschooler, you can choose, you know. So it wasn't necessarily very... you know, representative, I guess. Mm-hmm. So there, you know, even there, like, you don't even really have necessarily a good standard, you know, so you're sort of just hoping that you're doing a good job sometimes, I feel like.
You'll find that in curriculums too, or I have, where a third grade curriculum in this, you know, whatever type, I don't know what I'm trying to say, publisher, is completely different than the third grade curriculum in this publisher. And so I'm like, well, I don't know where they're supposed to be. This is way up here and this is way down here. Mm-hmm. And they're both third grade. So, you know, even that is a challenge too. And it's just, I don't know. I definitely still
think,
with that.
Yeah. And I definitely think, like, having now had older kids, you know, that helps. Then you finally kind of get a perspective, because you're like, okay, what do they actually need? They really, really need writing and grammar and math and, like, reading. And, like, almost honestly, anything else they could pick up later if they had to, I feel like.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's. I feel like when they were younger, it was definitely harder to know, like, are we on track? And then also, you know, you have individual kids, right, Destiny? Mm-hmm. So, like,
you mean just they're different learning needs?
Exactly, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's the hardest part for me, is, like, am I doing right by each one of them? You know, am I doing enough? I feel like I'm constantly researching curriculum, you know, because I'm like, what's out there? I want to know all my options. And then you kind of get decision fatigue, where you're like, I don't want to think about this 24/7, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm having to, and then I go back to where, like, we're good, you know, we're balanced, and then you kind of freak out again. Mm. So it's like balancing the fear with the peace times, and just, you know, it's like a balancing act more than ever in some ways. But on the other hand, going back to just, like, the overall rhythm of our family, I feel like that's more in sync, and I don't feel as pulled by the outside world.
That's cool. Mm-hmm.
As we did when we were in the school system, because, you know, there was a lot of external things that we were trying to meet, a lot of standards we were trying to meet that weren't really necessarily in line with what we needed at the time.
Yeah.
So I do like that part of it, you know, just pulling back into our family as a whole and what works right now.
Mm-hmm.
And going, like, what I was thinking, going with you saying balancing out, like, your fear of, oh, okay, wait, we're totally not here. Oh, yes, we are. We're okay. I don't know. It took, I can't remember where I heard this or something, but I try to tell myself this, and I don't know if it'll help anyone else, but, like, at the end of the day, the goal, I don't think, is for our kids to know everything in these curriculums. Like, it's not to, like, not to know all this and then take a test over it and, okay, they got an A, they're good, they know
it. Yeah, yeah.
Like, the goal is that they learn how to learn, or that they care about learning, that they care about what they're learning and how to apply that and use that even in the future, like those kind of bigger goals. Because you can get like super, you know, narrow focused.
Yeah. I'm using like, we have to accomplish this.
Yeah,
thing.
Like, you know, okay, we're going to learn about, you know, adjectives today. And I mean, adjectives are important, but like the overall goal of it is just for them to, I don't know,
have a love of learning.
Care about learning. Mm-hmm. Like love learning, know how to, okay, you know, go and find out information about things that they need to know. Because if you go and get a job, it's not going to be like, what did I learn in third grade that I'm going to use this for in my job? Necessarily. It may be, though, where they're like, okay, I need to do this. How do I figure out how to do this? Like, I need to have those,
that's
like,
really
problem-solving
cool.
skills almost of, like, how can I go and figure this out? And, you know, obviously all your, like, multiplication facts, all that's important and everything. I try to see the big picture. I don't always do a great job.
I think
job
that's
at
a really good point. And also,
know.
Like, I think homeschooling really, like, it's conducive for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because they almost, they do a lot of learning on their own.
True.
You know, and I feel like, COVID was, like, awful because I have a high schooler. I have two high schoolers, but one of them was doing the hybrid. Mm-hmm. You know, and she has homeschooled, so it's not like she doesn't know how to do work on her own, you know, because she homeschooled all the way through eighth grade. But it was just really, you know, kind of hard to have to go back to kind of no routine, and you have to motivate yourself, you know, to do it. But at least she had some experience. I mean, can you imagine all the kids that never had that?
Right.
Yeah, and never knew, you know, how to, like, just figure, you know, do something in their own speed, in their own, you know. So I think that
and
would definitely
think for
be a benefit
themselves
of
a little bit too. And I don't know. Yeah.
And one thing I think that helped me too, when I finally did have some kids in public school and like private school, I like realized teachers are like just people. Because I used to think I was so like subpar, you know, maybe by being like a homeschooler, like I'm not a real teacher.
Right.
You know? And I'm like, they have all the same struggles that I have about, you know, trying to teach the kids. And on top of that, they have, like, 20 or more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and they're, you know, all those kids aren't getting all that stuff every year, but they're all turning out okay. You know what I mean?
Right.
So going back to curriculum, I wanted you to share maybe a little bit about what curriculum you found that you liked. Destiny, you want to start?
Yeah, we recently switched our math for my oldest. That was the one subject that I wasn't happy with what we were using at first necessarily, and we switched to Saxon math. I actually found it on eBay, and you can save a lot of money, by the way, on eBay. And I really like it. I mean, just the way it's laid out, it's geared for the learner to do it on their own. It doesn't actually have a separate teaching manual. Now, at the lower levels, it does, but he's on the 4-5 level, 4th, 5th grade level. And what he likes that was what, where we were butting heads on me telling him what to do when he felt like he wanted to do it on his own. So it's working really well. I also wanted to get him off the computer a little bit. Our previous math program was all online, and I could see that he was learning how the system worked to get the answers, but not necessarily solving them.
Oh, yeah.
Concretely, like on paper and pencil. So Saxon for math, we do Math UC for my first grader, and then I kind of just do, you know, just the basic learning numbers and alphabet for my daughter. But we really like Math UC. It has really good manipulatives for like the younger ages. It's very, there's not a lot of like pictures and graphics because he gets easily distracted. It's just like very simple, straight to the point pages. For language arts, we're doing kind of a mixture of things. We recently we're switching to Shirley for English, which is, I think,
we
the one you
that,
used. And then we have some stuff from Bookshark for language arts as well. It's similar to Sunlight, the way it's laid out.
Oh, that's neat.
And
like reading based.
Reading based.
Story based.
Story based. Lots of books to read, which is really good for speech with my daughter. Nice. Because she just sits there and we read. And I think I'll switch it up. It is a lot of reading. And, you know, there's things I love about the curriculum and things that I don't. It gives a lot of writing prompts, which is really good.
That is great.
So, yeah, that's kind of what we're doing for the main subjects. History and sciences through Bookshark as well.
I love the story-based idea. So, mm-hmm. so engaging for kids.
It really is. We've learned the history through them is awesome because we just go off on tangents with the books. And, you know, we'll research World War II or Helen Keller or, you know, American
so
Sign
cool.
Language.
Yeah. And so it's like getting them curious and interested. And
they yeah. care about what they're learning about, you know.
Right, because yeah. I'm kind of following their lead on that. So, okay. Yeah.
Rachel, you want to, real quick, and Abby, unfortunately, we're going to get kicked out by another class that's coming in, but we're going to finish this up real quick.
I'm still learning about curriculums. I think there is a whole, like, literature curriculum reading where you learn through reading, learn through, follow those, and I love that, but I do feel like it's a lot on me. I don't know, because I am doing all the reading to them, and I it does take, you can't just tell them to sit down and work in their workbook
yeah,
with
yeah.
that. Whereas my son is a little bit like yours. He doesn't want me to tell him exactly what to do. Like, he hears me as mom and he hears me as teacher. So if he can have
something
like
a break.
that he can have a break with where he just sits down and does a workbook for himself too. So I feel like there are two sides of that of curriculum where you have your like laid out daily workbooks. I mean, you can literally just hand them a workbook and write what pages they do. And then
yeah.
you have your sunlight, your all, you know, these literature-based ones. And write, like, I don't know, maybe just, like, somehow mixing them for us would work. I don't
mm-hmm.
know if that would...
Yeah.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah, I'm not sure how we'll do that, but I would like to get to the point where, you know, he has a little bit he can do by himself and Abby too, and then we can also sit down as a family and read, and he likes, you know, just to explore different things that we're reading about and dig deeper into that, and maybe we want to, you know,
yeah.
whatever, do different projects with that. But yeah, curriculum is, I feel like you're always thinking about curriculum,
mm-hmm.
or I am always researching it. Like, you hear mm-hmm. somebody else talk about it, or like Destiny said, you know, you're like, oh shoot, am I like, this is, I'm not doing the right thing. Like,
yes.
what in the world? Like, I should totally be doing this. So I don't know. You don't necessarily have to just pick this one curriculum and go with it forever either. Like, you will see
that's
as
the
you
nice thing.
Start homeschooling your kids what they benefit from, and just slowly try to ease myself into that, because, you know, we just went with what they were doing at their school. They were doing BJU, and we just went with that this year, but I could see how it was great in some areas, and then they enjoyed other ways in other things that I've heard and even learned about that I would have never have known about had I not talked with other homeschool parents and moms, and like, oh, there's a curriculum like that, and oh, that sounds good, or Isaac would really
yeah.
like that. And so that's what we did this year.
We went with My Father's World this year.
I love My Father's World.
Yes, it's story-based again.
Yeah.
We use Singapore for math, which was what
I
my...
I love Singapore, too.
Yeah, my oldest was
I actually have used a lot of the ones you guys have used.
Yeah. And so we've really, really loved math. We've really loved... My Father's World uses Usborne for science. And so my kids have loved, like, doing the experiments, even though it's super overwhelming for my type A self to get over.
Yes.
So we do the science experiments all in one day, because then
yeah.
the kitchen is a mess for one day.
Can't imagine doing that in a camper.
Oh.
That must
We did those outside. and so there are some things that we're going to tweak this year, because it's a lot of story-based, a lot of reading. So we're going to tweak it. But like you've said, at first it was overwhelming to have all of these different curriculums to choose from. And now I'm trying to flip my brain into thinking, okay, wait a minute, it's not overwhelming, it's a blessing. Because instead of being stuck to one type of learning or one way of doing things, we can tweak it and we can add things or take things away. So that has been really, like, I'm trying to change my way of thinking.
That's a good awesome way to think of it.
Well, thank you guys so much. I wish we had a whole nother hour, but I really, really appreciate your time, and I know it's going to be a blessing to someone, so thanks so much for being with me.
Thank you.
I hope you were encouraged by that. We had so much fun recording it. We were actually recording at Homeschool Co-op in between classes. We kind of stole one of the classrooms and just set up shop in there. And it was just so encouraging and cool to talk to those ladies, and just so neat to see that they just really stepped off the ledge and tried it. And I'm sure there's so many other people that did that because of COVID, giving them the opportunity to just try it out. And I know that we've loved our homeschooling journey. It's always got its ups and downs, just like everything else. But I hope that encourages you if you're thinking about homeschooling, or if you're there and you can relate to something that was said. So make sure you share this episode with a friend, anybody you think would be encouraged by it, and make sure to visit us on the web at Imagine Mom, or also on Facebook and Instagram and Pinterest at Imagine Mom. So have a great time, and we'll see you on the next episode.